Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
All right, the Holy Spirit. This is our third study in this series on the Holy Spirit, and today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And we'll just do a couple of doctrines. This will be kind of lengthy, but not tonight. We're going to cover a couple, and then we'll pick it up next Sunday and Sunday night and continue on. So why don't we pray, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be here this evening. I do pray that you would forgive us for our sins. I pray that you would forgive me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray if anyone here doesn't know you as Savior, that you would save them. I pray we would all learn from your word and take something that we can use to reach others for Christ and that we can use in our own lives. We ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. So the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. The first doctrine that we're going to look at is regeneration, the Holy Spirit and regeneration. And for that, we turn to John 3. And picking up in John 3 and verse 5, the Word of God says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So this in John 3, Jesus is telling Nicodemus how to be born again. And as he's talking to him, he says, "Verily, verily," which means truly, truly, "I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Now, Jesus is responding to Nicodemus in this way because Nicodemus has just misunderstood Jesus. Jesus just told him that a man had to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, "Well, how can somebody be born when they're old? Can they enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born?" And Nicodemus thought that Jesus was talking about a physical birth, but he wasn't. He was talking about a spiritual birth, a birth from above. And so Jesus says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, a lot of people get tripped up on what water means there. But water is simply indicating a physical birth. If you read it in context, Nicodemus is just, Jesus talked to Nicodemus about a spiritual birth. Nicodemus replied, "How can a man be born when he's old?" He was talking about a physical birth. So Jesus clarifies it and says, "Except a man be born of water," that's a physical birth, "and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then he says it again, "That which is born of the flesh," that's a physical birth, "is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And when a woman has a baby, her water breaks. That's what they say. And that is the allusion here. "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Being born again. Now, Nicodemus still did not understand what Jesus was talking about after he clarified it. And Jesus says in verse 8, "The wind blows where it listeth," or wherever it wants to. "And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." So the wind blows wherever it wants to, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. Basically, what Jesus is saying there is you cannot understand the wind and you can't understand being born again. It's not something you understand, it's something you believe. There's also an allusion there to the Holy Spirit's work in regeneration because, well, Jesus has already said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, it's a work of the Holy Spirit being born again, but also the Spirit is a breath or a wind. That's the idea. So there's an allusion there to the Spirit in even saying the wind blows where it listeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. But even after that, Nicodemus still didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Regeneration doesn't have to be a mysterious thing. It should be something that we as Christians can explain to people. And so we're going to talk about that. Regeneration, or being born again, is a creative work of the Spirit of God on what the Bible calls the heart, which is the thoughts, emotions, and will of man. The Holy Spirit breaks through our sinful hearts of stone and changes them, making them new. He gives us a desire to serve God, a new desire to live for Jesus Christ. Now, this new heart was prophesied in Ezekiel 11:19 and in Ezekiel 36:26-27. And while these prophecies were written to Israel, Gentiles or non-Jews, that's us, can take part in the promises of these prophecies in this present church age. And when we read the prophecies, you'll see that this is exactly what it means to be born again. And here's Ezekiel 36:26-27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, when a person is born again, and this is why Nicodemus should have understood this. After Jesus said the wind blows where it listeth, where it wants to, and you hear the sound of it and can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. In verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Are you a teacher of Israel? Are you a leader of Israel? And you don't know these things. Now, Nicodemus should have known about being born again because it was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. And he should have known that. So when God saves us, he gives us a new heart. And he puts his law into our heart so that we want to keep his law. And remember, the heart is not talking about our physical hearts, but it's talking essentially about our mind. It's talking about our thoughts, emotions, and will. And, you know, people get confused about these kind of things, but when you get born again, God gives you a new heart, new thoughts, emotions, and will, so that affects your mind, but he does not give you a new brain. Okay? We still have the same brain. So your brain has got all the stuff you did before you were saved written on it. And so you've still got temptations. You've still got the same temptations and the same things. You have the same brain, but you have a new way of thinking and a new desires and a new will. And that's the heart. So this was prophesied. And we can get in on this prophecy when we get born again, even though this prophecy was made to Israel. By the way, if you want to know when that will ultimately be fulfilled, that will ultimately be fulfilled when the Bible says that all Israel shall be saved. So when Jesus Christ returns and the nation of Israel looks upon him whom they have pierced, as it's prophesied they will, and they mourn, the tribes of the earth will mourn, the Bible says, then all Israel will be saved. They will all turn in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ and be born again. And that is the ultimate fulfillment of that prophecy, but we can get in on it. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible says, therefore, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The idea of that is that if anybody's in Christ, you get into Christ by believing into Him, so you're in Christ, then there is a new creation that's taken place. You're born again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Puritan theologian Dr. John Owens wrote, when the Holy Spirit does His work of regeneration in the hearts of men, He does not come on them with great powerful feelings and emotions which cannot be resisted. He does not possess men as evil spirits take possessions of their victims. So, when the Holy Spirit does His work of regeneration, it is something the Holy Spirit convicts us and we respond to that. But the Holy Spirit will not force us to be born again. We have to say yes to the Lord. Now, he can put us under great conviction, but we've got to say yes. And that's what Dr. Owens is saying there. Jesus comes in through the person of the Holy Ghost and changes us from the inside out. He gives us a new heart to serve and follow God. This is the new birth or regeneration. So that is the Holy Spirit in regeneration. Now we're going to look at baptism. Now, baptism here, I'm not talking about water baptism, but spirit baptism. And we've talked about that here before, but it's an important doctrine in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12:13 teaches the doctrine, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a work of God that occurs the moment we trust Christ as Savior, and it involves the following two things. First of all, the Holy Spirit places us into the spiritual body of Christ. This happens to every believer, regardless of his or her ethnicity, social position, or background. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. And to understand that, baptism of the Holy Spirit is there's no water involved in that. It is a spiritual baptism, and it literally, baptism has the idea of burial and resurrection, and implied in that is the idea of death. And when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ, death in the Bible never means annihilation. It always means separation. So when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ, He separates you from the old life, the bondage of sin, and He places you into the body of Jesus Christ, the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Jesus has a physical body, which He's seated at the right hand of God. He's in His physical body. And He also has a spiritual body, and His spiritual body is made up of all believers since the time of Pentecost until today. And once that spiritual body is complete, the Lord will return. The spiritual body of Christ is also called the church in the Bible. And so we're all baptized by one Spirit into Christ's body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. Now, the second thing that this verse teaches is that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of us when we get saved. This happens to everyone who is saved the moment they are baptized into Christ's body. The last part of the verse says, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So, when we get saved, we're baptized into one body, the body of Christ, but we also drink into one Spirit. Now, when you drink something, where does it go? He goes inside you, right? And so the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And this was promised by Jesus Christ. And that all takes place when we're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now, water baptism pictures death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6:4. Spirit baptism is death, burial, and resurrection. So what is pictured in water baptism actually is fulfilled in spirit baptism. It is death, separation from the old bondage of sin, and resurrection into glorious new life in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, Colossians 1:13, that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And it's an instantaneous thing. Y'all remember on Star Trek, they were getting that thing, and I don't remember what it was called, but they were getting that thing, and all of a sudden they were off the ship and onto the planet or wherever they were going. Well, that's what's happened. God has delivered us from the power of darkness over here through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So this is a miraculous thing that happens through the Spirit's baptism. So, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, what we've learned so far, and we'll learn more next week, the Holy Spirit regenerates. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? It's an important question. The second question to ask is, do you know people who have not been born again? Everybody here probably knows somebody who has not been born again. And so that would tell us that we need to tell them how to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus how to be born again. And we need to tell people who aren't saved how they can be saved, how they can know Christ, how they can be born again. Number three, the Holy Spirit baptizes. If you are saved, you have received Spirit baptism. Spirit baptism is not something we're waiting for. It is not a second blessing. It is not something that we get after salvation. It is something that is automatic the moment you get saved. For by one Spirit have we all, we are all baptized into one body. Every single believer is baptized into the body of Christ the moment they get saved. So the fourth question is, have you been baptized in water? If you've been baptized in the Spirit, if you're saved, then have you been water baptized? There's some folks that have been saved but never baptized. And if you've not been baptized, we will be more than happy to baptize you. If you have a clear testimony of salvation, we can baptize you in our built-in pond in the back of the church. So that is the lesson on the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not quite sure how to do the invitation on this, other than I think that we should pray for those that we know that are not saved. Because we all have friends, relatives, loved ones. We know somebody that's not saved. And we need to pray that God will open a door, that we can be a witness, that we can be able to share the gospel with them and tell them how to be born again. And then maybe you know somebody that's saved that's not in church, never been baptized, and we need to get them in church and get them to be baptized. So let's pray to that end. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these people. I thank You for the work You're doing in this place. I do pray. We all know somebody that's not saved, Heavenly Father, and I just pray that You will put those people on our hearts tonight. Holy Spirit, please impress those people on our hearts. And then, Heavenly Father, I pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, You will open a door for us to witness to those people this week. I pray that we will give them a gospel tract, that we will share the gospel with them in some way, that we will share our testimony, that we will invite them to church. But I pray that this week we will witness to them in some way, tell them how to be born again, maybe even out of John chapter 3. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that have been saved, but are out of church. People that have been saved, don't go to church, never been baptized. Those that have fallen out of church, I pray they get back in church. I pray if they need to get baptized, they get baptized. I pray if some need to get saved, that they get saved. But I do pray that you would do this work and help us to be witnesses and just fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to go out of this place and win people to Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com and harmonybconline.com.